chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. Tom Friends of the New York Times, he had asked Coach Jimmy Johnson what he had told his players before leading the Dallas Cowboys onto the field for the 1993 Super Bowl. He said to the reporter, "I told them that if I laid a 2x4 across the floor, everybody there would walk across it and not fall. And that's because our focus would be on walking the length of that board. But if I put that same board 10 stories high between two buildings, only a few would make it. And that's because their focus would be on falling." Johnson told his players not to focus on the crowd. Do not focus on the media or the possibility of falling, but to focus on each play of the game as if it were a good practice session. These words encouraged the Cowboys to go on to win that game that night 52-7. Church, as we live day by day, we have a eternal focus, a focus that we visit again and again and again daily, and that focus is the will of God for our life. We're focused on Christ. We're focused on His purpose, God's agenda, the task that's laid before you and I, not only as individuals, the personal will of God, but corporately as the church. Our destiny is to preach the gospel to the lost, to make disciples, and to plant churches. But the danger is we can be distracted. We could lose sight on what our focus truly is. And we're going to be reminded, and we'll learn a few things from our text on focus. So let's look at this. Philippians 4, we're going to read verses 8 and 9. But before I do, I'd like to actually give you some background and talk to you first about Paul's encouragement. I will get to the text. So the book of Philippians, it was a letter written by the Apostle Paul on a second missionary trip to Philippi around 50 AD. So Paul, he pioneered the church through one-on-one evangelism. He pioneers this church. It grows through a process of time. And when the church was able to function on its own, Paul, he handed it over in leadership. Paul went on to start other churches. As time passed, he hears about some of the things going on in this church. So he writes a letter to them. And in this letter, we find the character of this church. They actually develop a great heart for the mission field. And that's, we know that because in Philippians 4:16, twice, listen, that we learn that they sent Paul money for world evangelism to help start other churches in Thessalonica. So this church, its character is strong. It's got a good heart, amen. They want to see souls saved, amen. They invest their resources, their financials into winning the lost, amen. And again, you can go on, you can read the letter, the Philippian letter, and you will find out, amen, that you can see that Paul, he loves this church very much. He speaks highly of this church. Actually, three times he calls them beloved. Beloved, he loves this church. The church felt like a family to him. It was personal. He pioneered it. He knew them by name. He called them brethren. He uses the words longed for, my joy, my crown, as an expression of the church towards him. Listen, this is how he felt for the church. He had a heart for the church. He loved this church. This is a spiritually healthy church. to Paul. He's writing, he's encouraging them. You can see his heart is in this letter. People in the church were on fire for God. But Paul, he writes in this letter a few things that he noticed in the church that could harm them. And that was losing focus. You know, this is a great church. They had a great heart for God. This is a powerful church. But Paul points out that if they lose focus, this could harm them greatly. And this is why he writes this letter. And so let's pick up on our text, two verses of scripture, Philippians 4, 8 and 9. Finally, my brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue and if there are anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. The things which you've learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you. Now, Paul says, keep your mind on what is right and pure. Notice this word, meditate. That word meditate means to keep a constant thought. Listen to how the Living Bible puts it, Philippians 4, 8, and 9. Fix your thoughts on what is true and good and right. Fix your thoughts. Think about things that are pure and lovely and dwell on the fine good things in others. Think about all you can praise God for and be glad about, and keep putting into practice all you that you've learned from me and saw me doing, and the God of peace will be with you. Now, these three words that I'm just highlighting, fix, dwell, and keep, these are Paul's words that he used. Amen. Think about this. This is the mentality. This is the heart, the passion behind his letter. Paul is saying, keep the heart and mind that you have. Keep it. Fixate yourself upon it. Dwell. Keep it. Attach yourself and don't let go. This is the thought. Paul saw potential in this church. They can win the world. They're on fire for God. So he writes them and says, keep that spirit. Don't lose it. This spirit is something you need to fight for. Paul encourages the church to keep focus. You see, church, focus is a kingdom principle. Men and women of God in a local congregation, we are focused on bringing our ministry to a lost and broken world. Proverbs 4:25. Let your eyes look directly forward and your gaze be straight before you. Matthew 6:23, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Romans 8:5, for those who live according to the flesh set their minds on things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, they set their minds on things of the Spirit. And then last but not least, 2 Timothy 2:15, do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a worker who has no need to be ashamed, rightly handling the word of truth. Now, the reason I gave you these texts, it's because every one of these texts, it reflects the need for focus. Focus. Every one of these texts, amen, it's telling us that these require a focus. We keep our eyes on the prize. Seek God's kingdom. Set our minds on the spiritual. Present yourself godly. Meditate on these things. Listen, it's talking about keeping a focus. This will take focus, church. Our calling, our purpose, our destiny, listen, it's achieved, amen. It can be, amen, achievable with a heart of focus. We must have a focus as a people of God. And that is because, amen, we are still in a broken, sinful world. And listen, we're not home yet. We have an agenda. We have a task before us, a goal. We have something to reach for. We have something to obtain. Paul says it's a prize. Amen. And we are running after this prize in a race, if you would. And listen, those who run at a race, they run to win. Their focus is the finish line. Our focus is souls. Our focus is discipleship and planting churches. Our focus is the will of God. Church, our focus is spiritual. We can't lose it. It's important. And that's why I want to talk to you secondly about a potential danger. You see, Paul understands that people have the potential of losing focus. In other words, if we're not careful, we can be stirred off track. We can lose our spiritual focus. The Word of God reveals to us through other examples how this can happen. And one of the greatest examples is the story of the 10 lepers. You remember that story in Luke 17, 11 through 17. Now it had happened as He went to Jerusalem that He passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. Then as He entered a certain village, there met Him 10 men who were lepers, who stood afar off, and they lifted up their voices and said, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." So when He saw them, He said to them, "Go show yourself to the priest." And so it was that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, he returned and with a great and loud voice glorified God, fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks, and he was a Samaritan. So Jesus answered and said, "Were there not 10 of you that I cleansed? But where are the other 9? Where are they?" Verse 18, it says, "Were there not any found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner?" And he said to this one man, "Arise and go your way. Your faith has made you well." Now, if you look at the insight to the story, all 10 lepers were healed. But it tells us along the way, only one followed through. Only one. All 10 were healed. Every one were healed. Verse 14, he said to them, "Go show yourself to the priest." And so it was that they went, they were healed. They were cleansed. Listen, they all started off great. They all started off righteous. They all started off in salvation. They all started off, you know, in the will of God. But the problem is, along the way, something changed. Something happened. We can be touched of God in service. We can have God lay hold of our hearts. I'll never forget. I walked into church in 2003. I'm in the back row. I had piercings, cut off sleeves. Listen, my life was a wreck. And I'm sitting there and I heard the gospel for the first time in my life so clear. It convicted me. God dealt with me. I was touched of God. But I wasn't the only one. I have a number of friends, amen, that I met in that church that got saved around the same time as me. But ironically, today, I went on to preach the gospel. I was discipled, got married. My beautiful wife and I, we have been preaching the gospel now for a number of years. This is our third work. But I have friends that I got saved with in my mother church that they're not even in the will of God today. They sat under the same preaching. They joined the same ministries. We held the same ministry standards. But today, they're not a part of the will of God for their life. You see, there is a potential. It can happen to any of us. And that is, friend, it's what Paul is touching on. He's encouraging the church to not lose focus. We are to focus, and listen, focus is a quality that Jesus cares very much about. In verse 17, Jesus answered and said, were there not 10 cleansed, but where are the other 9? Jesus is pointing this out. He's saying people can lose focus. 9 people lost focus. Those are not good odds, folks. 1 out of 10 people actually kept to their task. They kept the will of God. They kept on their focus. See, the reality is distraction is the nemesis of focus. We are constantly tempted to pull away, constantly tempted to pull away from a consistent focus on Christ. And as a result, we often find ourselves being tossed to and fro by the concerns of life even. We can become comfortable. Comfortability can become dangerous. In fact, we grow comfortable in certain spiritual areas of our lives, and we can let down our guard if we're not careful. The grind of life, the routines of day-to-day tasks, it can make us careless. We can become spiritually mechanic. Going through the motions, our hearts become unguarded, and then out of the blue, we don't do what we know we should. This could affect your prayer life. You're not praying. You're not reading your Bible. You're not, faithful to your ministry. You're not engaging in your relationship with Christ, your relationship with the Holy Spirit, the voice of God. It has grown faint by the day. We can become so busy, we lose time with God. This happens with sports, school events, family affairs, vacation, hunting, fishing. It goes on and on. None of these things are bad. I love all these things. There's nothing wrong with them. They're not evil. But we have the potential of making these things too big of a burden where they take up so much time and they leave no time for God. It doesn't matter really how it happens. In hell's mind, hell wants to take your focus. And he'll use whatever avenue he can. He'll even use your kids. Your kids could take your focus away from prayer. You never find time to pray because you got kids everywhere. Or maybe it's business. Maybe you're chasing the dollar. You're trying to make ends meet. But again, it doesn't matter. I can sit here and give you every scenario. To the rich, to the poor, to the well-off, to those that are struggling. It doesn't matter. Doesn't matter the culture you're from, the color of your skin, the language you speak. We all have the same 24 hours in a day, and we choose on how to spend that time. And the reality is, hell will do whatever it can, use whatever excuse, use whatever avenue he can work through, just to take your time away from God, to bring you to a place to where you start to lose focus. It's a great business in Vegas. I say it many times because I pastored there. And that is the marketing. It's a $1 billion industry. Casinos make the money they do because of marketing. Marketing, 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 marketing. Billions of dollars go through marketing in Vegas. Marketing. Listen, all you got to do is go to a computer, type the word Vegas, marketing. It's attractive. The glitz and glamour, the lights, the smoke screen it puts up, it pulls you. Masterminds, CEOs behind marketing, especially in Vegas, they're always coming up with a strategy to take the mind of the consumer. And it's true. I lived in Vegas for a number of years. I pioneered a church there. And listen, I'll never forget the first time I've ever seen an upside down billboard. It was in Vegas. Have you ever seen an upside down billboard? Well, they got pretty popular because they learned to do that from Vegas. You know, when you're driving down the street and you see an upside down billboard, it gets your attention. You're like, wait, hold on, that's just upside down. And it gets you to look at it. It gets you to read it. I worked for a casino, and I did it, you know, because I did the valet. And when I was working valet and I went through the casino, through the hiring process, and they let you in on a few of the tricks. And for one thing, you never find in a casino, you'll never see a clock. You walk into a casino, there is no clocks anywhere in a casino. No clocks. You're looking for a time, you won't find a clock on the casino wall. Because they don't want you focused on time. They don't want to limit your gambling. They don't want to rush you out of the casino. They want to keep you there. People go in there in the daytime. They'll go in there, they'll drink, they'll gamble, they do what they do, and they come out and it's daytime, but the only problem is they've been there and they're leaving the next day. And they don't even realize it's happened so many times. Another thing they do is they get the most abstract carpet. The reason you go into casinos all the time and you always see these outrageous abstract designs on their carpet, it's because it actually, they did an experiment. They pay these people lots of money. And what they do is these people, whoever they are, some type of people that deal with how people respond to certain things, psychiatrists or whatever, I don't know what you call them, but they told us they spend lots of money on certain people taking and doing these experiments to find out what can keep your eyes focused on slot machines. They came up with this abstract carpet. So every casino, you always see it. You got some outlandish, crazy, abstract design. If you look at it too long, it would start to strain your eyes, and it keeps you looking focused or keep you looking straight ahead. They want you to see eye level. The reason you need to see eye level is because eye level is they designed every slot machine to only go to a certain extent of height because it catches your eye. They don't make them shorter. They don't make them taller. Every single one of them has a certain standard of height. That's because they spend $1 billion on trying to distract you to get your attention. The enemy is the same way. The enemy finds out what's your niche. The enemy finds out what can easily distract you, and he will try. It don't have to be evil. Kids are not evil. I love my kids. You know, sports is not evil. I'm not trying to rain on your parade here. No, all that's great. My kids are involved in sports. Praise God. There's nothing wrong with that. All I'm saying is that there comes a place to where, listen, these things that we do on a daily basis, it can actually take away from church, take away from prayer, take away from ministry, take away. And sooner or later, amen, you're going to find yourself starving spiritually, amen, and distracted. That's dangerous. So let's end this note tonight on keeping focus. Proverbs 4:25 in the Message Bible. Listen to what it says. Keep your eyes straight ahead. Ignore all sideshow distractions. Watch your step, and the road will stretch out smooth before you. Look neither right nor left. Leave evil in the dust. Church, what is our focus? Obviously, it's to keep our hearts right before God. Keep our relationship with Christ strong, healthy. Winning souls, building the church, planting churches, making disciples. Listen, Proverbs 16:3 says, commit your work to the Lord and your plans will be established. Commit your work to the Lord and your plans will be established. That's what we as a fellowship are set out to do. One day, I promise you, one day our focus, we're going to build a leadership church right here in Knoxville. We're going to launch a church out of this congregation one day. We're going to put a flag on the wall. It's going to represent a couple that we have personally invested in here in this church. And we're going to launch them out into another city to start a new work. We're going to do many. It's a focus that we have. Why? Because Jesus is coming back and we need to raise up workers. Jesus said himself, he said the laborers are few. Harvest is plenty, but the laborers are few. And we need to pray to the Lord of the harvest for more laborers, for workers. We're here to raise up workers. You are a worker. I am a worker. And we need to reproduce workmanship in each and every one of our lives. We need to raise up disciples. We need to raise up couples. We need to raise up, amen, people that know how to win others to Jesus Christ. Why? Because Jesus is coming back. Amen. We need to keep our focus. We need to focus on God. It says in Psalms 34:5, those who look to him are radiant. Their faces are never covered with shame. We need to focus on eternal life. We are looking forward to a new heaven and a new earth where righteousness dwells. This is 2 Peter 3:13. It's easy to get caught up in the cares of this world and neglect the hope that we have in the next one. Church, there's nothing wrong with being involved and engaged and you know, even in politics or work-related issues, family demands or community concerns. But our problem arises when we let them take so much ground in our lives that we forget this place isn't our home. We need to pray that God will renew an expectancy of eternal life that will release the pressure of worldly concerns. We need God to help us, amen, stay attached and keep focused. It's interesting, Colossians 3:2 says we need to stay focused on things above. It says, set your mind on things above, not earthly things. I believe this is very necessary. This is something that is concerning to Christ, amen, that we keep our minds focused on things above. You know, Jesus is seated at the right hand of God, interceding for you and me at the right hand of God. The right hand of God is in heaven above. We need to stay focused on things above. Listen, we need to focus on his decrees. It says in Psalms 119, 112, my heart is set on keeping your decrees to the very end. To the very end. You know, a careful study in God's word will always realign our focus with his will. You know, the scriptures can direct our attention towards the spiritual gaps. Many times our busyness, if you would, it can harden our hearts to the realities or the shortcomings, of our lives in sinful ways. But however, listen, by allowing the penetrating word of God, the sword of the Spirit, the Bible, listen, our vision is softened and we see more clearly the way of the Lord. Listen, you need to study the Bible you need to dig into the Word of God. This helps you keep focused, learn His will, learn His ways. Listen, we need to focus our thoughts on Jesus, and I close. Hebrews 3:1, fix our thoughts on Jesus, whom we acknowledge as our apostle and high priest. We need to fix our thoughts on Jesus. Again, our minds are constantly bombarded with thoughts of, on all kinds of things, ourselves, work, friends, finances, and so much more. And even when we're determined to pray and study the scriptures, our minds can float away to other places, rendering our time with God as fruitless. It is actually when we discipline our minds to focus on Jesus and what he has done in order that we may have eternal life, we are changed. We need to pay attention to when our thoughts try to wander, and we need to keep them disciplined, amen, on Christ. There's so many things that we can actually focus our hearts on. We can focus on his grace. We can focus, amen, on his purpose. And that's what we're called to do, church. But to focus, it demands a relationship. It demands an attachment to a relationship with God. Don't let anything distract you from your prayer life. Don't let anything distract you, amen, from reading the gospel. Don't let anything distract you from the basics. Coming to church, tithing, your relationship with God. Listen, you continue to build on that. You stay close, amen, to that. It will nurture you. Remember the vine principle. We are the branches. He is the vine. We are fed with nutrients, amen. If we stay attached to the vine spiritually, we'll grow, we'll develop. You will know the will of God for your life. And you can, and listen, God will help you in accomplishing His will. But it's all about staying focused on Christ and not allowing anything to distract you. With that, I'll let every head bowed and every eye closed. Real quickly, we want to close. Amen. If you're here and you're not right with God, you need to repent of your sins. You want to be forgiven. You want to make heaven your home. You want a relationship with Jesus Christ. Listen, I want to tell you, all you have to do is just surrender. Repent, confess your sins, and believe that Jesus is Lord, that He died and rose again. He's the Son of God. He is faithful to forgive. Maybe you're here and you're not right with God, and you want to repent. Maybe you're on the live stream. All you have to do is cry out to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords.